I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we're going to talk about what's going on both nationally and internationally. There's a number of very interesting stories that are happening. We are told in the New Testament by the Lord Jesus that we would hear of wars and rumors of wars. And there's no question that we have both in much of history, but certainly in modern history, we've had wars, and there are many rumors of wars. There has been an ongoing rumor for years, for decades, about World War III, and World War III being a nuclear war. I mean, I grew up during the Cold War era. I remember movies like Planet of the Apes, the original, with Charlton Heston, which was just really a spectacular film, great film, and very powerful at the time. And of course, Charlton Heston, and he plays an astronaut who goes into outer space with his fellow astronauts, and then they crash unexpectedly, and they show up in this, what they think is a strange planet, where you have apes that are in charge. And the humans are like primitive cave dwellers or something, and they can't talk. And the apes can talk and think, and they're the innovators and the leaders of society. And there's this whole upside-down world that Charlton Heston finds himself in. And the story goes on. Of course, at the end, he escapes all of this. He's initially a captive, but then they find out he can talk, etc. And he goes off into the Forbidden Zone. And at the very end, you have that famous scene where you see the Statue of Liberty sunken down in the sand. And Charlton Heston says, "You finally did it. You finally blew it up." And then he's just shouting there on the sand. Shouting really at America and the world and mankind for destroying the world through presumably what would have been some kind of nuclear disaster. Then in the sequel, in part two, you have Heston's character. He comes back again for part two, and I think this was called Beneath the Planet of the Apes or something. Anyway, it was a second part in this, but at the very end, a nuclear missile goes off and very clearly blows up the entire planet. You had movies like Omega Man, The Last Man on Earth, and this kind of thing, where the population is devastated, the world is devastated because of warfare, some war that happened. And I think in the Omega Man, it was some kind of biological warfare that had taken place. But this whole idea, we've seen it since the end of World War II. There was World War I, World War II, and there's just been this ongoing fear of World War III, how it might happen, would it happen with nuclear bombs, biological warfare, a combination of all of it. You know, are the nations of the earth finally going to just blow themselves to smithereens? That's the idea. Now, it's interesting, in Matthew 24, which is where we have this wars and rumors of wars, where it says in verse 6, "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. Now, verses 6 through 11, this seems like something that is just ongoing in our generation. And certainly, I'm sure you could find elements of it in previous generations, but it appears to be ongoing in our world today in a variety of ways. And it's not necessarily something that we're waiting to happen, and it's not something that happens just in a single event and that's the end of it. It's something that is ongoing. Now, the warning there in verse 12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And that's where we've got to be careful, brethren, that our love toward God and our love toward one another does not wax cold because iniquity abounds. That's what we've got to guard ourselves concerning. It's very challenging. And then verse 13, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Okay? All right, now, here's the part I wanted to get down to. I thought those verses, though, I've always thought those verses are very, very powerful. But in verse 14, where it talks about the gospel of the kingdom being preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, there are parts of the world, brethren, especially in the Muslim countries, where the gospel is forbidden to be preached. You cannot preach the gospel in certain parts of the world. And this is the case for communist countries as well. The preaching of the gospel is very limited. And I have wondered for a few years now, is that something that is going to change before we see the end? Before we see, you know, the end of this present system and the return of our Lord Jesus Christ? Are we going to see these countries, these Islamic countries and other countries, being overturned, having their power overturned, so that the gospel can be freely preached in all parts of the world? Because right now, that's not been the case. I did a show talking about William Carey, the father of modern missions, and he gave an accounting of the state of the world, the heathen nations, where they had not the gospel. And this was just roughly about 200 years ago that he did that. He was talking about the duty and the responsibility of Christians to go out into the world and preach the word of God, the gospel, to those who still dwell in darkness. All right, but here's the part I wanted to get down to. This is in verse 21, where it says, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Now, I have thought for years, and I learned this years ago from other prophecy teachers, the idea, except those days be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, specifically. Whereas Paul says that those who are alive and who remain at the Lord's coming shall be caught up to greet the Lord in the air. And that seems to be what's in reference here, that unless somehow or other God had shortened the days, which I personally believe is one of the reasons why no man knows the hour or the day of the Lord's return and so on. Why? Because whatever the appointed days were, God shortens the days somehow. And so how could anybody figure out how much God has shortened the days? Nobody but God could know that. So, but for the elect's sake, the Lord has shortened the days. If he hadn't shortened the days, Jesus says, there should no flesh be saved, meaning, you know, you'd have to have the capability somehow to destroy all the flesh on the planet. And it has been rightly said in the past by others that mankind has never had the capability of doing that. Anywhere in history, man has never had the ability to destroy all the flesh on the earth. You couldn't do it with ordinary weapons, swords and spears and this kind of thing. Even with ordinary bombs all the way up through World War II. It's only once we enter into the nuclear era, at the very end of the Second World War, Hiroshima, Nagasaki, and we see the terrible power of a nuclear bomb. And now it is said that the bombs that we have today are many times more powerful than those that were originally dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. But it has been argued for years that between the United States and Russia and the other countries that have nuclear capability, there is more than enough firepower to blow up the entire planet several times over. And so the very real possibility is there that all flesh on the earth could be destroyed. Now, of course, I don't believe that will happen. The reason I don't believe it is because the Word of God tells us it's not going to happen. That's why nevertheless, there could still be a nuclear bomb dropped somewhere that could destroy a lot of people and do a lot of harm. But the idea that all flesh, that all mankind is going to be wiped out, that I don't believe is a possibility because God is not going to permit that to happen. And we are told that specifically in the Word there in Matthew. So, but it's very, very interesting, brethren. It's why prophecy is so important and that we as believers understand there are things that have happened in our day that have never before happened in history. And this is one of them. Man's capability of annihilating all flesh on the earth. The first time in history. And the reason this is important right now is because this conflict with Syria is being backed by Russia and Putin. And the conflict with Syria, now that President Trump made the decision to go in and drop bombs on Syria and this kind of thing, it opens the door of conflict with Syria and with Russia. And now there's all this tension between the United States and Russia, whereas before, many of Trump's supporters were hearing Donald Trump, when he was running for office, talk about how he wants to get along with Russia. Now people are saying, well, wait a second, what's going on? And there's a lot of speculation that he's been manipulated, et cetera, coerced. Who knows? There's just a lot of argument about this, but whatever the case may be, where prophecy is concerned, this is a conflict that could very well lead to World War III. And now you add North Korea into this because Kim Jong-un has been testing through his saber rattling over there. He's been testing the U.S. government. And now it is being reported that President Trump is taking action toward North Korea. North Korea also has nuclear capability. What that could mean going forward remains to be seen, brethren. But what are we seeing? We're seeing a manifestation of wars and rumors of wars. That's what we're seeing, brethren. This is the Word of God being fulfilled right before our eyes. All right, let's go to our commercial break. When we come back, we'll talk more right after this.
A Dullum Films presents an exciting new documentary, Bridge to Babylon, part 3 in an award-winning series on the untold history of the Bible. Dr. Jack Moorman calls it a masterful presentation of what is the single most important issue facing Christians today, the defense of the Bible as the Word of God. Why was the Bible changed in 1881? Why have so many churches abandoned biblical inerrancy? And what direction are scholars taking the scriptures today? Learn the truth in Bridge to Babylon, the sequel to A Lamp in the Dark and Tares Among the Wheat. Bridge to Babylon is now available at noiseofthunderradio.com. That's noiseofthunderradio.com.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family because I had become concerned about what was happening in America. Our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I've been a customer of Mountain House through one of their distributors. But now, Worldview Weekend, as of October 25th, 2016, has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. Now look, the key word here is balance. We don't put our hope in horses and chariots. We don't put our security in food and gold and silver. But it is important to be diversified and to be prepared. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. I think people ought to have a little bit put aside, as I've done since April of 2013, in case of an emergency. You get free shipping and handling, and you're supporting the general operating budget of Worldview Weekend. Just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we're talking about what's going on both nationally and internationally. I got an article here from Business Insider back in January. They had a headline in January of this year, quote, "The Terrifying Truth About North Korea's Nuclear Weapons." And of course, if you read the article, there appears to be from North Korea a lot of grandstanding and sort of, you know, saber rattling and threats and this kind of thing. And according to this article, they were boasting about developing a nuclear weapon capable of reaching parts of the U.S. At that time, President-elect Trump said, quote, "It won't happen," in a tweet talking about it. Then it goes on from there and basically says that North Korea does not have, or does not appear to have, that anybody knows, any great nuclear capability. I think what they're doing, it's very likely that what they're doing is they are boasting and bragging and bluffing to a large extent. That's most likely what they're doing. However, they do have apparently some nuclear capability. Whether or not they have the ability to reach any part of the United States, that's the part that is under speculation. But of course, it's the kind of thing that you can't take lightly. Our leaders couldn't take those kind of threats lightly. They have to make sure, because what if they had a weapon that had that capability? Obviously, that could be devastating. Now, what's really bad for North Korea is that they have China, who is stepping in and reacting strongly, according to one report. China warns North Korea amid massive troop buildup on border. Quote, "We," meaning China, "react strongly to nuclear threats," China says. Okay. And Chinese newspaper says Beijing will not remain indifferent to North Korea's warmongering. Now, between China and the United States, I mean, there's no question North Korea would be toast. I mean, they would just be totally crushed in no time flat. And somebody really needs to go in there at some point and clean out that entire corrupt system, because it is an absolutely evil, evil system in North Korea that they have. In fact, I watched about a week ago the testimony of a young girl who was born and raised in North Korea, and she and her mother managed to escape. And it was a very heartbreaking testimony. It was about 5 or 10 minutes long. Not that long, but she was really thanking the people of the Western world for having a free world that she could escape to. And she talked about the terrible things that she and her family suffered. I mean, North Korea is just, it's pure evil. The government there is pure evil. They force the people to basically be a population of slaves groveling in front of their leaders who are set up as the gods, the idols of that part of the world. And the people have a miserable existence. Absolutely miserable existence. It is a lesson for anybody who's tampering with socialism and communism and thinks those are a good idea. This is one of a number of examples as to why Marxism is Satanism. It is its own form of Satanism. And we carried the book some time ago, Marx and Satan, and I've done shows talking about it. The late Pastor Richard Wurmbrand did, I think, a great service to the church with that book, because he really demonstrated what is behind this whole evil system. And of course, we've talked about the Jesuit connections, the fact that the Jesuits developed the principles of Marxism, and then they eventually taught them to Karl Marx. And they developed social justice through Luigi Taparelli, etc. Then we find J.A. Wiley telling us about this in 1881, that the Jesuits use communism as a weapon against countries that they're trying to control. So this all fits into this globalist scheme, and it all fits into what we have been told and forewarned about in prophecy, that Satan is he that deceiveth the whole world. And what's behind the pagan gods, what's behind the pagan god Allah and these other false gods that are worshipped? We know demonic powers and principalities. And what's behind what appears to be the militant atheist system of Marxism or communism or socialism? What's behind it? Again, demonic powers, Satan. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, brethren, but against principalities and powers, against spiritual wickedness in the heavenlies. But very interesting to see this whole situation unfolding now internationally, because it could erupt into World War III. Now, people have been talking about this for several years, but if you go and study, and I would highly recommend anybody who's not seen it yet, you should watch if you want to learn history in the modern era, history that they're probably not teaching in the schools. Probably not teaching in the schools right now. But get the World War II series called Why We Fight. Why We Fight. I got it years ago. I got it years ago back when it was still on VHS. Back before they got rid of VHS entirely. But back then it was a four-part series. You got four tapes. And it explained the conflict, and it showed the involvement of China, of Japan, of Italy, of Great Britain, obviously, of Germany, obviously, and the United States. But you see all this, these interconnected politics and conflicts that were going on that ultimately brought about the Second World War. But the Second World War was really a continuation of the First World War. And to understand all of that, I would argue, as I've argued before, you have to understand what Winston Churchill said when he said that at the end of World War II, that this was the end of the Second 30 Years War. The Second 30 Years War. The First 30 Years War was the conflict between Protestants and Catholics across Western Europe, where the Jesuits Catholic League were trying to completely annihilate Protestantism. and just slaughter all the Protestants and get rid of them. That's when you had Gustavus Adolphus. He stepped up to the plate. He was the great defender of Protestantism and the gospel. He from the histories that I've seen of Gustavus, he believed he was fighting for the preservation of the preaching of the gospel. And that God had given an opportunity through the Reformation to rescue Western Europe from the clutches of the Dark Age and the Inquisition and so on, where they were burning Bibles and burning Bible believers. And now it was up to him to use the authority God gave him to take up arms and to put down basically the Inquisition. That's what the Catholic League was simply a manifestation of the Inquisition trying to slaughter all the Protestants. And he put a stop to it, to much of it. But these conflicts that were going on, World War I, World War II, how did Churchill and also Charles de Gaulle see this as the Second 30 Years' War, a continuation of that conflict? And who are the players we find involved on the world stage today? They're the same players, brethren. These conflicts, even though things have shifted around a bit, the histories of them, the formula is there for a third world war to happen. So we need to remember what the Lord says, let not your heart be troubled. And remember that the Lord says that when we begin to see these things come to pass, we should lift our eyes to heaven, for our redemption draweth nigh. Praise the Lord. All right, brethren, that's going to do it for us today. That is our show. We'll stop it there, but we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.